Chapter 31. Into the Mix. 10:27 hours, Zulu. The cloud bank stretched from horizon to horizon.
Nav, is there any way around this thing?
Don't think so, sir. We can try to climb over it.
Otto debated. Going higher meant going up through the overcast. Going under it meant exposing the flight to attack, or at least more of an attack than if they stayed at altitude. The big engines on the forts operated best at altitude. He made a decision. They would go up and take their chances on a letdown to the target. He keyed his mic.
Nav, I'm going to take her up. Ball, tail, top. Watch to see that the flight follows.
He heard a round of rogers from the stations and porpoised the aircraft to indicate a change in altitude. The flight observed radio silence at this point in the mission. Otto advanced the throttles to full military power and pulled back on the wheel. The B-17 nosed upward. It wasn't enough. The cloud deck was building, and soon they were in a thick overcast. Damn, Otto thought.
Pilot, tail. I've lost sight of everyone.
Roger, tail, thanks. Let me know if you catch sight of them again.
They were somewhere beyond the front line over Nazi-occupied Europe in a cloud bank with 300 aircraft loaded with fuel and explosives. Some days it doesn't pay to get out of bed. He considered aborting the mission by firing off a flare, but knew he would have to answer to that decision. Better to press on. Otto held his course steady, and the clouds suddenly parted to an area of clear skies. The call came from tail.
Bandits! Bandits! 5 o'clock high!
The chatter of the tail gun was joined by the top and starboard waist. He could see the nose gun swivel to the right, loosing bursts of 50-caliber shells. The ME-109s tore past the bomber, tiny in comparison, moving so quickly, pulling Immelmanns and coming back toward Otto and his crew. Generally, they avoided frontal attack, but these guys were good, blasting away and then peeling off just as they entered the range of the American guns. A cannon shell struck the starboard wingtip and shredded it. Otto and Donovan pulled the ship back to port and adjusted trim to compensate for the additional drag and loss of lift. As he did many times every mission, Otto thanked God for the toughness of the forts. He had seen some limp back to base with incredible damage, 12 feet of wing torn away, stabilizers and rudders almost completely shot up, engines charred lumps of metal, but they still brought their crews back.
"Here they come again!"
screamed Riley, and once again the gunners opened up. The ship shook with the recoil of thousands of shells pouring into the sky.
"Short bursts. Lead your target," Otto called out, uncertain whether anyone could hear him.
They knew what they were doing, but in the excitement of being shot at, they might do anything. He just hoped no bomber was within their range. There were too many cases of bombers being shot down by friendlies. The attacks came in wave after wave for the next 20 minutes. Otto silently cursed the lack of escorts. What good was it having P-47s with drop tanks if they weren't used? Someone had screwed up, that was for certain. As suddenly as they began, the swarms of black fighters fell away. Otto called for a crew report.
"Crew damage report," he called.
The voices that came back were tense and higher pitched than usual.
"Top, right wing is shredded. Waist one, a few holes in the fuselage here and there, nothing serious.
Bombardier, a hole in the glazing."
That was all. Everything considered, not too bad. Ahead, a curtain of black puffs of smoke littered the sky. Flak. That meant they were near the target. The fighters had peeled off so they wouldn't be hit by their own AA fire.
"Into the Valley of Death rode the 10,000.
It was Detweiler, the literature major.
"Det, keep your Tennyson to yourself, will you?" Otto scolded.
"You got it, pilot. We who are about to die salute you."
Otto and Donovan scanned what they could see of the sky.
"Tail, who's with us?" Otto called.
"Tail here. I see maybe 12 AC, and the formation is pretty ragged."
Otto cursed silently. The other ships were supposed to form up in order to protect each other. Maybe they would after the bomb run.
"Pilot, Nav, we're at the IP.
Flak shells began exploding on either side of them.
"Bombardier, you have the aircraft," Otto said,
as he and Donovan lifted their hands from the controls.